Listening Part 1, Section B. You will hear the second part of a radio programme about working as an interpreter for the United Nations. For questions 6 to 10, choose the correct answer A, B or C. You will hear Section B twice. You have 1 minute to read the questions for Section B. We now have some emails from our listeners about Tom's job as an interpreter for the United Nations. The first one is from Susan. Tom, Susan wants to know if you ever get the languages mixed up when you're interpreting and start using the wrong language.
It's the interpreter's biggest nightmare. Fortunately, it's never happened to me, touch wood, but I know a couple of colleagues that it has happened to. It's very embarrassing. And you just have to carry on and hope no one's realised. But probably the hardest part of the job is having to concentrate so hard on the actual language you're speaking. After a while, it comes naturally. But at first, the constant thinking in one language and speaking in another is really difficult.
I suppose everything happens so quickly. You can't go back and change it later on.
Not when you're doing simultaneous translations, you can't. We do usually have an agenda, so we know roughly what the speaker is going to talk about before they start. But of course, this doesn't help us when the different representatives get involved in long arguments or move away from the topic, as they frequently do.
OK, we have an email now from Douglas. Douglas wants to know if all United Nations interpreters need to speak English. He's heard that the official language of the United Nations is English.
No, that's not true. The United Nations has 6 official languages: English, Chinese, Arabic, Russian, French and Spanish. So, at any one time, there are usually at least 14 interpreters working in an assembly meeting. These meetings can go on for long periods of time, sometimes overnight. So you do get tired as you have to concentrate so much. It is a very complicated setup.
Where do you sit when the meetings are in progress?
Well, we work in enclosed areas called booths, where we can see all the speakers and the proceedings. Usually, there are 2 or 3 of us sitting together in the booth. And, of course, we also have to be at meetings for the different committees, etc. Which is less stressful as we're able to clarify something that we've not quite understood.
OK, we'll have just one last email from Estelle. She wants to know which city the United Nations headquarters are in and if you live there permanently or just travel there when there are meetings.
The United Nations has various assemblies throughout the world. The main headquarters is, of course, in New York, but I work in Geneva in Switzerland, which is the main assembly in Europe.
Did you get to choose where you could work, Tom?
No, not really. We sort of just got sent there after our initial training, but I was quite happy with Geneva. That would have been my first choice. Geneva is a beautiful city, and I'm happy living there. Also, the work is less stressful.
Thanks, Tom. I'm afraid we've run out of time, so thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to the next time. Now, listen again. We now have some emails from our listeners about Tom's job as an interpreter for the United Nations. The first one is from Susan. Tom, Susan wants to know if you ever get the languages mixed up when you're interpreting and start using the wrong language.
It's the interpreter's biggest nightmare. Fortunately, it's never happened to me, touch wood, but I know a couple of colleagues that it has happened to. It's very embarrassing, and you just have to carry on and hope no one's realised. But probably the hardest part of the job is having to concentrate so hard on the actual language you're speaking. After a while, it comes naturally. But at first, the constant thinking in one language and speaking in another is really difficult.
I suppose everything happens so quickly. You can't go back and change it later on.
Not when you're doing simultaneous translations, you can't. We do usually have an agenda, so we know roughly what the speaker is going to talk about before they start. But of course, this doesn't help us when the different representatives get involved in long arguments or move away from the topic, as they frequently do.
OK, we have an email now from Douglas. Douglas wants to know if all United Nations interpreters need to speak English. He's heard that the official language of the United Nations is English.
No, that's not true. The United Nations has 6 official languages: English, Chinese, Arabic, Russian, French, and Spanish. So at any one time, there are usually at least 14 interpreters working in an assembly meeting. These meetings can go on for long periods of time, sometimes overnight. So you do get tired as you have to concentrate so much. It is a very complicated setup.
Where do you sit when the meetings are in progress?
Well, we work in enclosed areas called booths, where we can see all the speakers and the proceedings. Usually, there are 2 or 3 of us sitting together in the booth. And, of course, we also have to be at meetings for the different committees, etc. Which is less stressful as we're able to clarify something that we've not quite understood.
OK, we'll have just one last email from Estelle. She wants to know which city the United Nations headquarters are in and if you live there permanently or just travel there when there are meetings.
The United Nations has various assemblies throughout the world. The main headquarters is, of course, in New York, but I work in Geneva in Switzerland, which is the main assembly in Europe.
Did you get to choose where you could work, Tom?
No, not really. We sort of just got sent there after our initial training, but I was quite happy with Geneva. That would have been my first choice. Geneva is a beautiful city, and I'm happy living there. Also, the work is less stressful.
Thanks, Tom. I'm afraid we've run out of time, so thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to the next time. That is the end of Part 1, Section B of the Listening Test. Now turn to Part 2.